Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
You know, and it was a very scary experience. There were times, you know, especially with where I lived when this was going on, where I couldn't walk out of my car without looking over my shoulder. There were times I told my daughter, if I tell you or give you the code word, you run to the neighbor's house. It was an awful experience of going through full retaliation and harassment.
That's Dr. Ramey Edler, the former medical director for Escambia County. If you don't know what a medical director is, I understand. The medical director is the person who oversees all of the medical-related operations in the entire county. So, for example, lifeguards on the beach performing life-saving methods. People in the jail who are, you know, performing any kind of medical intervention with inmates. People at Escambia County Fire who are responding to a scene where you've got a, you know, they drag somebody out of the fire and they're now performing life-saving on them. Or they get called because EMS is too slow, emergency medical services is too slow, or all the ambulances are taken up doing something else. And so they respond to do the temporary life-saving care to somebody until an ambulance can get there. And of course, EMS, okay, emergency medical services that handle all of this stuff as well. I've been playing the clips from her first speech since all of the stuff that she was involved in had come to light, which is, and by involved in, I mean, she was whistleblower of the year in 2024. She's my hero. I mean, she's a hero. Like, what she put up with from Escambia County, from EMS, from the administration, from county commissioners, including the, like, character assassination that she had repeatedly against her by a citizen and by a sitting commissioner, Jeff Bergosh, on his blog and in the dais, and, like, it was awful. And I knew she was, you know, good people before, and I had talked to her a little bit, but after listening to this yesterday, she's a hero. She deserved Whistleblower of the Year. You know, this was what led to all of the text messages with Jeff Bergosh. Was all part of this lawsuit that she ended up filing. Okay, wound up being a $5 million settlement. More on that in a minute. She was trying to get all of the folks in Escambia County trained to the proper certification when what had been going on for years was they were fraudulent certifications, and then the county was billing Medicare with this stuff, which was fraud, and people knew it. And nothing would get done. And then those people, when she brought to light that it was happening, they retaliated against her and made false claims against her. I mean, it was atrocious stuff. And it's one thing to have, you know, to fight the system at the, like, employee level, but to have the commissioners and the administration abandon her, I understand why she would feel that way. It was really, really bad. And Escambia County doesn't exactly have a sterling reputation historically for how we treat people who bring stuff to light. I mean, you know, we have the dubious distinction of having to have all of our commissioners cleaned out by the governor, you know, and one killed. He took his own life. Sure. If you believe that. Okay. Anyway, back to the point. So, you know, there's this history in Escambia County of corruption and blame and cover-ups and money and good old boys and all of the stuff. And shoot the messenger, don't solve the problem, right? Well, so she was dealing with all of this in her job, which she had been an ER doctor and basically got recruited by Jack Brown, you know, back when he was the county administrator, and, you know, they were trying to fix it. And now, well, anyway, here goes. This is a little bit of a long clip. I want you to hear it from her because this helps you get a sense of the problem she was dealing with and, you know, the pushback she was getting from administration when she was trying to fix a problem that her medical license was responsible for, and even that was difficult at times. This is after Chief Nail had left when the new EMS, I guess it was EMS was in, fire, new fire was in, and Jack Brown had left anyway. So this let her tell it.
I was pulled into the office at one point. We had a new EMS chief at the time who was, you know, there was medications. I'll give you this example too. There were medications that were being ordered with my DEA license that can paralyze you. So paralyze you for, this is when we do what's called like endotracheal intubation or rapid sequence intubation. One medication, one of the paralytics that I like to use, is only like lasts maybe 5 minutes or less. So it's very easy to maintain an airway and breathe for somebody. especially if you can't get the tube or if they ended up being a difficult intubation. What that means is taking a tube and putting it down into the trachea that goes into your lungs so that you can breathe. You know, if you have severe respiratory distress, trauma, things of that sort. But there are other paralytics that will paralyze you for an hour to 2 hours, which means your diaphragm's paralyzed, so you can't breathe. So they have to get that tube. The other thing is our neurosurgeons that I had spoke with as well, they didn't really like it. They couldn't do a neuro exam at all because the medicine's still on board. So I was really opposed to actually using one of these specific medications out in the field until we had the proper training even. Like, you know, maybe we can consider it in the future, but let's make sure everybody knows how to intubate, because there was another nurse who stood up because her son had a cardiac arrhythmia. And when they did the endotracheal intubation, they put the tube into his esophagus, which goes to the stomach. And so even though we were able to resuscitate him, he ended up becoming an organ donor because he was brain dead. So 8 minutes without oxygen and you end up dying. So I was not okay with this medicine. The new EMS chief that came on board ordered all this medication against my authorization. I said, send it back. And he's like, he ended up telling the stock clerk at that time, just put it to the side, we'll be replacing her soon anyway. And so I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was pulled into the office, and I was told by the public safety director at the time, as well as the assistant county administrator, that they were going to be letting me go once they could get all of the votes from the commission.
What in the... There's no words. The reason she took the job in the first place is because she and the other doctors in the hospitals were seeing the results of improperly treated patients brought in by EMS. And then she got recruited by Jack Brown, who said, we can fix this. And she and Chief Nail, the Escambia County Fire Rescue Chief at the time, had come up with this plan to train everybody, training that they're all supposed to have, you know, but training everybody to just, like, let's get the actual certifications that we're currently lying about. Let's just get everybody standardized, get everybody trained, and then we'll go from there and try to make this a great agency. And at first, the county said yes, and then they totally changed their minds, and they abandoned her when, you know, Rusty left and Jack left, and Janice was trying to do this too, Janice Gilley, and, you know, they turned sour on her real fast and got rid of her. She's another one of my heroes. I mean, Janice is amazing. What people have done, and particularly... I mean, some really high-profile women have tried to do in Escambia County, from Janice Gilley to Pam Childers to Ramey Edler to Deanna Oleski, and what they have had to endure as a result of trying to do the right thing because of this county is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I have a real, like, soft spot for strong, stubborn, smart, devoted, courageous women. Like, I was raised by, you know, one, like, single mom. So I have a real soft, I married one, you know, I have a real soft spot for, and when I see this, it just, it's, and what they have, what Ramey Edler did and put up with, anyway, more on this in a second. It's just trying to do the right thing in a system that was horribly dysfunctional and still is highly dysfunctional compared to what it should be. I think there's reforms going on, but we're definitely not there yet. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We have a report of a light out at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Memphis Avenue on the side of Tom Thumb there. So just be aware of that. No accidents to let you know about, but I'm starting to see more delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ramey Edler, the former medical director, giving her first public commentary on all of the stuff that she was, you know, responsible for and dealt with and suffered as a result of trying to do the right thing in Escambia County EMS and elsewhere when she was the medical director. And she says, look, this was becoming so stressful with the fake retaliation, the false claims, the persecution from a commissioner, Jeff Bergosh, on his blog and elsewhere, and a citizen, and, you know, the lies about her to HR that were investigated and found to be, you know, totally wrong, and the kind of good old boy network that she was up against. And she says, look, it was causing my regular work to suffer. She was a medical director, but her regular job as an ER doctor was actually suffering because of all this stuff, making her not do that job properly.
At this point, I was like, I tried to speak with the attorneys. Can I take a constructive discharge? How do I get out of this? I can't deal with it. I can't sleep. My insomnia was like, it was awful. I was going to work in the ER, and I knew that I was starting to slack, and I wasn't the best for my patients. It was really starting to affect how I was even managing patient care. And so one attorney gave me the advice to go ahead and take FMLA for the anxiety and the stress. And that's what I did.
So she took time off, took FMLA, right? And she was going to come back. But even when she was gone, so she's not operating as the medical director. So whose medical license is covering the lifeguards and the jail and EMS and Escambia County Fire Rescue?
So once I took that, now we need a medical director. There was a week's time period where our agency ran with no oversight of any physician. It was a week to 2 weeks until I made them aware. I said, who are y'all working under? What license are you under? Oh, we don't need a license. We'll figure that out. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that actually happened. And while I was on FMLA, I took the time, I went back 3 months. And when I went back, that's when they gave me my notification saying that you were going to be replaced.
You can sort of hear it from the crowd. There's about, I don't know, 60 people there maybe yesterday, something like that, at the Encounter Church doing this presentation. And see, I had the benefit of sitting next to Deanna Oleski, who's, you know, double board certified. And I get the benefit of hearing her go, you know, like, you know, when you know she's talking about some of the things that have been done, it doesn't really show up here. But the whole crowd, when no medical license for a week to 2 weeks, and we don't care, what do we need that for? Good Lord. I mean, this is really bad. So you remember this led to the lawsuit. Like, she was trying, she had an investigation. You know, she wanted to solve this internally. She wanted to solve it by a training regimen that still to this day hasn't been implemented. The board was initially supportive and then reversed on her, blaming her instead of blaming the people who were causing the problems. Then she, when she realized the fraud was going on, the improper certifications and the billing for Medicare, that investigation had to be stopped because the investigator said, we've got to take this to the state. So she took it to the state. And, you know, then eventually the state got involved in all this. But none of that came to fruition eventually because she dropped it because if it wasn't worth it, the time it was taking, all the legal strategies to, you know, basically drain her financially, something we've seen a lot of in Escambia County. It's a common strategy. We've seen the county commission engage in this strategy. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, so she backed off of that, but then she heard about the QI-TAM lawsuit concept where she could basically bring the lawsuit kind of for the federal government. And if they won, she'd get a share, like a whistleblower share. And so she wound up doing that. And, you know, this was the $5 million settlement. It eventually was a $5 million settlement. And all of these county commissioners, you know, wailing and gnashing teeth and, you know, Jeff Bergosh wanting not to pay it. And, you know, them all saying, we didn't know. How could we know? And there's actually a part of the settlement that involves them not having to be blamed for this. You either knew or should have known or should have listened instead of attacking the person who was bringing you the information. A common problem with this commission, at least previously, the three-block vote by Barry, Bergosh, and May. And in this case, it cost the county an enormous amount of money, but it could have been much, much worse. Listen.
Attorneys started to bring things forth with the case. We had Judge Vincent initially with us in federal court. And there were some things that the county tried to deny, and he shut that down really fast. And it took several years and to just try to kind of speed things up. And I'll open the floor to any kind of questions. But we went through federal court. Judge Casey Rogers was over our area, and we ended up settling the case recently. So one of the things that I've learned, you know, where this case could have been worth, when you really go back and you look at all the documentation, could have been worth over $300 million that the county would have to pay back in fines to the federal government. They ended up settling the case for $5 million, which...
$300 million. That's like the amount of damage Hurricane Sally did to NAS Pensacola vicinity. That's like the price of 3 mile bridge replacement vicinity, which, you know, both almost $500 million. But that's the kind of vicinity of fraud and penalties and mismanagement of money that Escambia County could have been on the hook for. And instead of working with the person who was bringing this stuff to light and trying to fix it and avoid it and avert it, it was like watching the monkeys on the shelf. You know, one sees no evil, one hears no evil, one will speak no evil. Well, one will hear no bad report, and one will, you know, like, it's unbelievable. And you see this same bleeping pattern. Like, Deanna Oleski got hired on the condition that they'd provide a new medical examiner's office to her. When they dragged their feet and denied the problems at the Sacred facility and wouldn't act on it, she goes to speak in public and brings people with her to talk about the problem, and it was the same nonsense. They turned around and, you know, you got the Smokies meeting and the defamation stuff against her for by the funeral directors, and she's now suing them, and that lawsuit has gone forward, and Stephen Barry was, you know, involved in that, and Jeff Bergosh publicized on, like, instead of doing something to solve the problem, we turn around and attack these women who bring these things to our attention. It's unbelievable. And yet believable. You know? So, oh, by the way, funny note on all of this. Even though she got fired, they're still using her protocols.
One of the things that I noticed when they said, hey, you know, we're going to get this training that you've been advocating for. Last I heard, they were still using my protocols. So the protocols that I wrote that with the assistance of Dr. Landry. So because that was one of the other things, they were trying to do everything to make me fail. So when I was in the process of trying to get assistance in my office and write down these protocols that we needed, they gave me a timeline. I'm like, this is a living, breathing document, and these have been outdated for years. So I was like, there's no way I can do this in a month. So Dr. Landry from Santa Rosa gave us his protocols, and I just incorporated those. And I said, okay, we can all be kind of uniform. He had updated those protocols, and I was in the process of trying to update those when I had to step down and when they were telling me I'd been replaced. And for several years after that, they were never replaced. I heard they never got the training. One of the training courses that they were doing wasn't even up to standards. So that's going back at least a year.
It's a lot to take. It's really bad. And it was really bad. And it might be somewhat better now, but the stuff she was saying yesterday, and by the way, I put this video up on our Facebook page, so you should be able to watch the whole thing for yourself if you want to. Kudos to Encounter Church for hosting it. Kudos to Rami Adler for being brave and coming out and talking about this. We'll probably have her on the air at some time in the future, but she hasn't been able to talk about this until now. And it's like over-the-top confirmation of all the stuff we always kind of suspected and thought we knew and had heard about but couldn't confirm with firsthand reports. It's unbelievable what was going on. And some of the people are still there in Escambia County. Two of the three commissioners are still in office. Leadership hasn't changed. Not much in the last couple of years. I mean, yes, some. Okay, some. It's true. But anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Wow. Garcon Point Bridge, if you're traveling that, it's down to one lane due to construction as they fix it. So expect about a 15-minute delay on that. Also, the light is out at the corner of Michigan and Memphis Avenue of the Tom Thumb corner. So that's another issue to know about. Then I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 15-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7:1-6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Sarah, it's been ages. How are things?
Hey, Lisa. Things are okay, I guess. Things with Mark haven't felt the same lately.
Oh, Sarah, that is so common. It could just be ED or low testosterone.
Really? I didn't even think about that. I was blaming myself.
Yeah, Jim had ED and low T. I thought I was doing something wrong, but it's just a medical condition. Now he's passionate about his job again, lost a little weight, and even put on some muscle since he went to Wave Men's Health. They specialize in ED and low T treatments, and you should see the way he looks at me now.
Wave Men's Health delivers powerful, personalized treatments to reignite the passion in your relationship, even if other pills and treatments haven't done the job. Don't let ED or low T put a damper on what should be the best time of the year.
I forgot how we used to feel. I got my husband back.
Dial 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMen'sHealth.com today and rekindle the magic, because you both deserve to feel the joy this season brings. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
A complete and total barforama.
Wait, was he talking about the pie-eating contest or the history of EMS in Escambia County? 729 on News Radio and County Commissioner misbehavior in response to Dr.
Boy.
Deanna Oleski and Pam Childers and Janice Gilley and Dr. Ramey Edler. And anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a German court says a former guard at a Nazi concentration camp is fit to stand trial. Earlier this year, a regional court decided that 100-year-old Gregor Formanek wasn't fit to stand trial due to his mental condition, but Tuesday, a higher court in Frankfurt overturned that decision.
All right, thanks so much, David. I am still kind of amazed at the possibility that Governor Ron DeSantis might be the next Secretary of Defense. Wow. Wow.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Biden promising $1 billion in aid to several African nations. Today is his final day of his trip to Angola.
Among his stops yesterday, a meeting with Angolan President João Lourenço. On the agenda, yes, a $1 billion aid grant for Africa and a massive infrastructure rail project aimed at boosting Angola's economy as well as that of its neighbors.
Fox's Greg Palcott there. Millions in the Midwest and northeastern U.S. preparing for another blast of wintry weather, with Arctic air expected to impact communities further south in the coming days. Fox meteorologist Janice Dean.
Temperatures 10 to 15 degrees below average as the next Arctic air mass moves in, with freeze alerts as far south as Florida.
Winter weather alerts stretching from Wisconsin to Maine. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got sunshine. It's a beautiful but a little bit chilly morning here. We've got 36 degrees in Pensacola. Well, District 1 Medical Examiner Diana Oleski's lawsuit against two local funeral home directors is moving forward. The News Journal reporting that Judge Jan Shackelford denied the latest motion to dismiss that lawsuit. Here late last month, Oleski filed the lawsuit in June of 2023 after three area funeral home directors wrote letters to the Escambia Board of Commissioners making accusations of bodies being butchered and paperwork problems. Oleski denied the allegations and said they were politically and financially motivated because they didn't want the medical examiner's office to move to Santa Rosa County. One of the funeral directors later recanted their statements. Oleski is suing the other two, Gerald Mitchell and Richard Trahan, for libel, tortious interference, and civil conspiracy. In the lawsuit, Oleski also accuses Commissioner Stephen Barry of being a co-conspirator in the effort to undermine her as medical examiner. Ascension Sacred Heart broke ground on their new emergency room in Perdido Key this week. The ER facility will be located next to their Sacred Heart Health Center on Sorrento Road. That center currently provides primary care and other services. The ER facility is estimated to cost around $15 million. Hospital officials say that should be open by next fall. Well, we are getting closer to having red light cameras in Pensacola, but they're not quite ready yet. Yesterday, Mayor D.C. Reeves said they wouldn't be activated this year.
Probably looking at something like a grace period in January with a start in February, something like that. Where you'll see them flashing, but there won't be any, and you may get a ticket in the mail, but it'll be for $0 as a warning. So,
Reeves says the cameras are installed at the five most dangerous intersections in the city. They'll be at 9th and Bayou, 9th and Airport, 9th and Fairfield, 9th and Gregory, and Davis and Fairfield. Mayor Reeves says once they are turned on, there will be that 30-day grace period where tickets could be mailed, but there wouldn't be a fine. And once the program is active, the fines will be $158 and they won't add points to your driver's license. Pensacola police officers are getting a 16% pay increase soon. Yesterday at the press conference, Mayor Reeves said that the starting salary for a police officer would be going from about $45,000 to around $52,000 per year. And this increase will affect the majority of their police force, but contract negotiations are still ongoing for sergeants and lieutenants in the department. An 18-year-old from Milton is charged in the shooting from the bonfire shooting from over the weekend. Officials say Therese Nikeem Toyins was arrested on Tuesday. He's charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. That incident happened at a bonfire in a big open field on Sid Hayes Road. Sheriff Johnson said there were more than 150 people at that party when Toyins allegedly pulled a gun and shot another man. The victim was shot in the chest and is expected to recover. Deputies say Toyins was fleeing the scene that night when his vehicle crashed into a deputy's patrol car. Three people in that vehicle fled on foot. Toyins was identified as the shooter through witness interviews. 735 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about, but we are seeing some delays. I-10 eastbound past the Pine Forest exit through the Highway 29, through that construction zone, is seeing some delays. Also, we've got some road work being done on the Garson Point Bridge. It's down to one lane, and what they're doing is they're flipping back and forth. So you'll have one traffic moving, and then the other side will move. So just be aware of that. It's about a 15-minute delay if you take that going into where you're going. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very chilly start to your day. Temperatures in the 30s as you are waking up. Highs today near 63 degrees with partly sunny skies. As you go into the evening, we will start to see a chance of some rain. Rain showers overnight with lows tonight near 56 degrees. For Thursday morning, 70% chance of rain. High near 67 by Thursday afternoon. Thursday night temperatures dropping near 35. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 36 degrees and sunny in Pensacola. 39 in Gulf Breeze and the cold spot this morning, still Milton. We're getting a report of 29 degrees there. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Traders will review the ADP private payrolls report for November, which is expected to show growth of 163,000 positions. Per economist polled by Dow Jones, data drops in minutes. Salesforce shares were up 9% after the company's fiscal third quarter earnings report showed revenue and fiscal fourth quarter guidance that exceeded analyst expectations. The company's revenue grew 8% year over year during the quarter, which ended October 31st. Its net income was $1.5 billion in the quarter, up 25% from a year ago. Okta shares popped 18% in extended trading after the company reported third quarter results that beat Wall Street estimates. Revenue increased 14% from $569 million a year ago. Okta said it expects revenue in the current quarter to be between $667 and $669 million, which also topped estimates. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 76. That's your money now.
Did you know Pensacola's hidden gem is powering the future? The Port of Pensacola isn't just a name. It's an economic engine driving our region's success. Home to over 20 powerhouse companies like Cemex Materials, General Electric, Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. This port is fueling growth and prosperity every day. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the backbone of Northwest Florida's economy. Discover how it's shaping our future at portofpensacola.com.
Hey, if you're in the market for that next vehicle, or maybe you're not quite yet in the market, and I always recommend that go shopping for cars when you don't yet need a car. Just like, you know, don't go shopping for groceries when you're hungry. Don't go shopping for a car when you need it. Try and anticipate, if you can. I know sometimes you can't, but if you can, anticipate ahead, like, you know, 6 months maybe, because then you can shop at your leisure. You can take your time. You can wait for the right deal. You can wait for the right color. You can look for the right miles or the right trim package, whatever. You don't have to be in desperation mode. You can be kind of leisurely looking, and I recommend you start at Frontier Motors. And if you find what you like, good quality used cars, you know, A quality cars, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old with low miles, cars that, you know, they're not from the dealership, they've had an owner or two before them, but they're in great shape and they'll warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. But the point is, you're going to buy cars that are new to you, in great condition, and you can own them for a while, and you have to pay that new car price, right? That's the advantage. Now, you might find exactly what you want sitting on the lot at Frontier. I know we did when it came to our Honda Odyssey. Then again, you could be looking for something, and they kind of get close. but not quite. And if you do, like I say, shop ahead, you can send them looking. Hey, I'm looking for this, but I want it with more miles for a lower price. Or I want it with fewer miles. I'm willing to pay more. Or I want it with a different trim package or a different, you know, like you can do that when you do things ahead of time. But like I said, Frontier is just a great place to start this process and then think of them as kind of like your car buying experts because they can do that if that's what you need. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Claimology tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's tomorrow at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Shoot your eye out.
Hi, this is Meg with Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, wishing you, your family, and friends a holiday season full of laughter, hugs, countless blessings, and lots of love. Happy holidays.
I want an official Red Ryder Carbon Action 2-inch airways while Arab.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Wednesday, therefore it is time to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the big topic, I think, on most people's minds right now is the red light cameras, which are obviously not yet in operation. You have explained this before. I think we might have been the first to report the poles were in the ground. I'm not sure. Anyway, put those pictures up yesterday. Got a lot of conversation about this. Some people very supportive, some people very much in opposition. You said yesterday and clarified, which is you've said before, they were not going to be operational until at least January. There was going to be a grace period where you might get a mail, you know, they're going to flash and you might get something in the mail, but it's a $0 ticket because it's just a warning. But then sometime in February, they're going to actually go live. Bayou and 9th, Fairfield and 9th, Airport and 9th. Are there other intersections? Am I forgetting? Are there other ones?
Yeah, there's five intersections in total, but it's not every direction of the intersection. Airport and 9th, Bayou and 9th will be all four
approaches.
Directions.
Okay.
Fairfield and Davis is only east-west. Fairfield and 9th is only east-west. It's the Fairfield traffic that has all the violations and crashes historically. And then actually the on-ramp from the beach ultimately that people start the on-ramp about 60 miles an hour before they get to the light of 9th Avenue.
The 9th Avenue and Gregory. Gregory. Yeah. Okay. I forgot about that one, too. Okay. So,
just the one direction, obviously.
Yeah. So I know you get a lot of feedback and pushback and criticism on some of these things. You know, sometimes you and I agree, sometimes you and I disagree. This is one where we emphatically agree. Like, I do understand because I listen, I'm not dumb, but I don't understand why people are so opposed to this because it only makes sense and all your law enforcement are on board. But your chance to comment, to sell the public on this plan.
Well, listen, let's start at the fundamental base here, which is, don't we all agree as citizens that people shouldn't run red lights? And if you don't agree with that, then I've lost you. We're never going to agree.
Right.
I think we should all agree that we shouldn't run red lights. So if we start there, what I think is so ironic about the efficiency argument, hey, there's going to cause more fender benders. Hey, well, what about my rights, about tickets? Here's my argument right now. What is the efficiency of people if they violate running the red light, how efficient are we right now in those people getting tickets? And the answer is zero, right? I mean, we don't have the resources to do that. We're not going to put an officer at every intersection 24 hours a day. That
well, multiple officers, no right? In order to catch some of these intersections, you'd have to have multiple officers stationed there.
And not only that, at 9th and Bayou, for example, it's indefensible. Tommy Leiter talked about that during my transition team report, mm-hmm. you know, when he mentioned red light cameras. It's indefensible. You can't even put an officer somewhere where they would actually be able to go get that person in any safe way. So I just find ironic that we are now arguing about the efficiency of which the enforcement would take place when we start from a foundation of absolutely zero efficiency of being able to catch people and have them, get a ticket for running a red light or causing an accident. We don't have that right now. So if our next problem, our next layer is, okay, well, we're worried about fender benders or people hitting the gas or wait, that photo real or not real. Those arguments of efficiency are wildly better than where we are today, which is nowhere. We're in the wild, wild west. And so I think you have to understand it in that context. And it's not just, well, here are these new concerns. Yeah, but with those concerns comes us catching people who run red lights. And I go back to it, Andrew, me and you talk about it all the time. I've got the ultimate solution. Don't run the red light.
Right.
That's all you have to do. And the second efficiency is, and I know you mentioned yesterday, you know, it's a drain on our resources, our police officers to come out and handle these accidents. It's not just a drain. It's our number one drain by far. When our police officer is not patrolling your neighborhood, when they can't respond as quickly, the number one drain on our resources at the Pensacola Police Department is us going to car accidents and having to deal with that and deal with paperwork and all of that. So yeah, I 100% agree. This should be about efficiency, which is we will be in a better place to make sure that we're catching people who are running red lights, that we're preventing dangerous accidents, injuries and fatality-based accidents, and we get our cops back on the street to be keeping you safe and not dealing with these accidents more than they need to be.
I tell you, I'm gonna say what you said just a little bit differently because you said it right at the end, but putting red light cameras in operation at crash-prone and red light running intersections is a way of hiring more cops to run calls because they won't have to be right. running crash calls anymore. And that is an impressive argument in favor of the public safety issue. We'll come back to this in just a second. D.C. Reeves is the mayor. He's on the line. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We have a disabled vehicle on Lillian at Blue Angel, so that's causing some delays there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about red light cameras. Questions. First question, do you know, is there actual video or is it only photos that will be available? And the reason this was asked is partially for validation of the truth of the thing, but also the possibility of it being used as a crash cause resource for investigations and settlements.
I'll let you ask Mike that tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I don't want to misquote that,
okay.
Whether it's photo or video or both, I would let them answer that.
Okay. The company that is going to be operating this, of course, PPD will have an officer watching eyes on to make sure that every ticket issued is validated, right? That's still true?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
The company is taking a pretty hefty slice of the money. I think it's about 2/3 of the money goes to the company. Why is that appropriate?
That's not my understanding. My understanding is the majority of the ticket actually goes to the state.
Oh, okay. My fault if I'm wrong about that. Sorry.
So it's the operator. Now we're in a split with the operator, but again, when we look for red herrings to argue, when someone emails me and says, "What about this? What about efficiency?" I always write back and say, "Are you looking to run more red lights?" My argument is, so the money argument comes up. If this was about money, then maybe we would pick a couple intersections and put officers there where it would be financially viable to do so. And then we would get a 100% of the ticket revenue if this was about money. As I've told you many times, Eddie, if we make $0 or lose money financially on this, but we had one less person get killed at 9th and Bayou, I think that's a good investment in our city, you know, and so this is not a money making venture for us. This is a safety making venture for us, and we'll see what happens. And here's the great part: if all of these myths are true, there's more fender benders, there's inefficiency of the lights, then the great news is we get to evaluate in 6 months or a year, and I have no problem as mayor saying, hey, we tried that, that didn't work. I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, Gulf Breeze has them, and Milton got rid of them, so you can adapt, right?
Exactly. All those fender benders, these mythical fender benders that are going to all happen now, well, those are going to be tracked, right? Those are going to be technically accidents still. So that means accidents will be going up at all of these intersections, and if that's the case, then I have no problem saying, hey, we need to reevaluate this.
One person says, okay, so if the goal of this is to teach red light runners to stop it, why not have a lower first offense cost? Because, you know, people might not even realize that they run red lights. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but I mean, you know, there it is. Is it maybe better to have an introductory penalty, like you're going to do the 1 month warning period for no penalty? Would it make more sense to have first ticket $50 instead of, what's it going to be, 150, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's right around 150. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, we had zero conversation in the building about the cost, meaning, in other words, the cost that it is right now is pretty much the minimum cost it can be.
Okay.
Because of the state aspect, because of having to pay for equipment to go in and all that. So this was not open for interpretation necessarily, unless we wanted to go up. There was no interpretation on cost on our side. But what my retort to, hey, well, what about a $50 ticket? Well, my first thing is, well, if a cop catches you running a red light this morning, what is that ticket?
Mm-hmm.
Because, in other words, we would have to compare. It could be cheaper than an officer seeing you and running a red light as well, you know. So we would have to look at that. But it's really a moot point.
Yeah, and I am 100% with you on the right now our efficiency at stopping this is zero. Let's see what we get over 6 months. Let's deal with that, and we'll see. You know, we'll actually have data, and we can prove or disprove a lot of these allegations of, you know, the parade of horribles that's going to happen. I did have just one thing. God, there's so much, always so much. By the way, congratulations to your mom for winning her CivicCon Award for Connie Bookman. That's great. I mean, you know, she certainly deserves it. That's kind of a neat little thing. We've got PPD is going to be getting a raise. I didn't understand about this story. It's going to go up 16% from $45,000 to $52,500 for starting. But it's not for the sergeants and lieutenants. And the only thing I didn't understand about that was we all know about the dangers of compression, the problems compression causes, and why it's important to whole pay scale improve. Why isn't it being done on a plan where it's not piece at a time?
First of all, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have three different union negotiations ultimately within the police department.
Okay.
And so you have the officers, which is the vast majority of our force. And then, of course, you have sergeants and lieutenants that are separate. Well, it is apples and oranges and bananas in terms of what's been put in those, what compression proofing has been put in those, et cetera. So, you know, obviously the other two are in negotiation. Certainly not going to get in front of our folks working on that, but we'll get to a good landing spot. But the ultimate point is what we already have complete. The officers is about a 16% pay raise, again, going from 45 to about 52.5. As I said in the press conference, I meet with mayors all over this country that their number one problem is recruitment retention.
Right.
And so we've taken recruitment retention head on throughout the entire city employee, all 850 employees we have, you know, with the pay reform that we already put in place with all of our civilian employees. And then, of course, with the police department and the fire department last year. So, if we want to be competitive and we want to be a great place to work, we've got to pay competitively. And certainly I think we're doing that better than we were a year ago.
I just want to make sure that all of the officers, whether they're, ranks or not ranks, I want to make sure they all get their appropriate apples and bananas. That's the thing I'm taking away from this conversation. Just a note, somebody said, could you just mention to DC that they work on Palafox where the road diet is, and they have seen many, many people going at high speed down the bike paths. Of course, they're not supposed to. And also now bicycles using the sidewalk, which they're not supposed to. That's just kind of a note for you to, be aware of. And I'll probably mention that to PPD tomorrow when we talk to Mike Wood. We always like to end with the lightning round where we ask you sort of silly, frivolous questions, which is, I think, people's favorite part. so we'll allow it. For Thanksgiving, does the Reeves family consume their pie immediately after dinner, or is there a delay of an hour or two until the pie?
Who does the second one?
Yeah, I don't know. Did I ask you that last week? It feels like maybe I asked you that last week, so I apologize.
No, you didn't.
Okay, good.
So you asked type of pie.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
I'm absolutely number one, and I feel sorry for the families that are much more calorie responsible and wait an hour or two.
Pie's the reward for eating well, right? Cyber Monday was this Monday. DC Reeves, you're just a little bit younger than I am. And the question is, do you like to buy things online? Do you feel comfortable buying online, or is it at all stressful for you?
I'm fine with it, but I really feel like even if you miss the Cyber Monday deal, it's coming back to you before Christmas anyway, you know?
yeah, most likely.
I'm a little skeptical of I try to be fiscally responsible on Cyber Monday.
And last one for you, fake or real tree for Christmas?
We have migrated to a fake tree. I was a lifelong real tree, till about, you become mayor all of a sudden going out to the farm, the Griswolds becomes a little bit more difficult. So we've gone back to the fake tree, but at heart as a child, I'm a real tree guy.
Okay. So you do the artificial tree out of necessity, but you feel guilty about it. Okay. Well, I mean, still welcome aboard. Welcome to the artificial tree side. I appreciate you being in our group. DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. We look forward to city council agenda review and meeting next week. And of course, we'll talk to you next Wednesday as always. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John.
That's right. Still dealing with the disabled vehicle that is on Lillian at Blue Angel. Also, I-10 eastbound, you're still seeing some delays from Pine Forest all the way through the construction zone and past it on I-10 eastbound. Also, if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, we're starting to see backups again as you approach the scenic highway 9-mile cutoff. This traffic report's been brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling your home, you need a good realtor. A realtor is going to solve your problems for you. He's going to avoid the problems so you don't even know they solved them by avoiding them. And if problems do come up, especially if you get a realtor who's got good experience, you know, lots of time solving these problems and avoiding them, if a new problem comes up, well, they have experience figuring this stuff out, and so they're in the best position to be able to handle something novel. Well, the folks at Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sell a lot of homes. 175 last year, on track to do the same this year. They were at 150 the last time I talked to her a couple weeks ago, so on track to do the same. At peak of the, when the market was super hot, they were selling well over 200 a year. That's, 3.5 per week right now. That's a lot of experience. That means you have confidence knowing that they know how to stage it, how to photograph it, what price to list it at, when to do the open house, how to handle requests, especially for things like the water heater or the AC or the roof and all that. They just know, and they can get you the best price on your home. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Harris Faulkner is coming to Pensacola. Join Marcus Point Baptist Church for the Spirit of Christmas, featuring Fox News host and author Harris Faulkner. There will be incredible music and life-changing moments at every campus. We will have fun kids programs and prizes, as well as a free meal for everyone. Join on December 8th at 10 a.m. at any of our locations in Pensacola, Beulah, Molino, or North Pace. The Spirit of Christmas, December 8th at Marcus Point Baptist Church, featuring Harris Faulkner.
Hi, I'm Chad Pico with Affiliated Insurance. Are you missing out? 9 million people are now eligible for low-cost health insurance. For some, much lower. 4 out of 5 people pay $10 or less a month. Didn't qualify for assistance in the past year? You may now. Some people even qualify for plans as low as $0 a month. Why not you? Call 850-477-5840 to schedule an appointment with your Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
One of the best single guitar licks of all time. Let it lay. Ah, so good. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, we've got confirmation on the greatest pop star of the 21st century, according to Billboard. Are you ready?
Let me guess, Beyonce.
Just took the wind right out of my sails. Yes, it's
Beyonce. What a terrible mystery.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.